Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harter. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We are almost at the finish line of the season. There may have been a pandemic, but you can't stop the spirit and heart of the Zweite Bundesliga. Matchday 31 was in the book, currently in the last of the English weeks, and that is matchday 32. So much news has gone on, so much action, and so much to unpack. Joining me once again is, I would suggest, a very jubilant and happy and maybe unfiltered Eva Lotte Bowler. Eva, what, good to have you back on. How are you today?
Very happy, slightly tired. I think the alcohol wore off and this morning, so good to start the day with it, and I'm just incredible happy and so glad to be in the Bundesliga next season.
Understandable, and we will get onto that towards the end of this week's episode. Of course, Arminia Bielefeld promoted for the first time since 2009, and they are very much on their way to picking up the hubcap, that is the Zweite Bundesliga trophy. But we should actually get on with the action from matchday 31. There was a lot of movement within the table, which has actually all changed from the three games last night. But we'll start with what was Nürnberg's game with Greuther Fürth. Massive Franconia derby behind closed doors. Nürnberg in the change strips for no apparent reason. And they were beaten 1-0 by Greuther Fürth. And it would be the Nürnberg native David Raum who scored his first goal of the season to give Fürth a 1-0 win. Now, Fürth would go on to draw 0-0 this last night, as this podcast is being recorded on Wednesday, whilst Nürnberg beat Wiesbaden 6-0 with a Robin Hack hat-trick. We'll stick to this game, though. The Franconia derby, Eva, it was a particularly laborious performance from Nürnberg, and at the time, it put them in the bottom three, but now they are out of it once again.
Yeah, I think it was the duel of both of the teams that didn't win since the restart, so nobody really expected much. I think it was really hard to pick a favorite before that game, because Greuther Fürth wasn't really, they didn't show their best performance until now, and I still think that in that game they were a bit lucky from time to time that Nürnberg didn't have the courage to find the back of the net, especially in persona of Robin Hack. But I also think that the second half was kind of more dominant by Fürth. They were a bit more energetic. They, all the passes were a bit more clearer than in the first half. And in the end, it was definitely a deserved win for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could tell by the frustration at the end of the game, Jens Keller basically storming off, metaphoric ball in hand, and was not particularly thrilled with the performance. It certainly put a lot of pressure on them heading into last night's game, which they completely bossed, which puts them now out of the relegation playoff spot. Good couple of results for Greuther Fürth. They had struggled recent weeks, but they are, no danger of going down, but in a very good position to have a solid finish to the season. A team that won on the weekend but was dispatched handsomely last night was Wiesbaden, when they beat Holstein Kiel 2-1. They fell behind from Hauk Vahl, who scored the opening goal, then Jeremias Lorch, and then Stefan Aigner, giving Wiesbaden all 3 points in this game. It did put them in a position where they were 2 points behind but Nürnberg. Now they remain 2 points behind Karlsruhe instead. It was a really good follow-up, considering they should have beaten Dresden. However, if we take into account what happened last night, bit of a mixed bag for Wiesbaden.
Yeah, Wiesbaden is a really weird side, not only since the restart, but throughout the season. I have the feeling that they always struggle more at home than they do away. For example, look at the win against Stuttgart and win against Kiel, both teams that are higher up in the table, but then losing at home to Dresden and of course Nuremberg last night. So they generally have more problems with teams that are around them than with teams that are more top of the table. I thought especially from Jeremiah Sloyd, that was a really, really good performance. Nearly every situation that was happening in front of that Kiel goal, he was involved in some ways, if like as an assist giver or anyway in any other difference. So very good performance by him. He was kind of the reason why Wien won that game in the end. And it really, with a defeat last night, it really mixes everything up. And with them, that was a horrible performance last night, of course, against the 6-0. They completely lost it. And for Kiel, as well, very weird restart. So nobody really, especially Kiel, can't really do anything more out of this season. They might just hope for single number table in the end. So somewhere between, I think, like 6th and 9th.
Yeah, well, they're currently on 39 points, and mathematically they can still be put into the relegation playoff spot. It has been a peculiar restart for Kiel, who have just lost a little bit of the magic. We also heard yesterday that Oli Werner won't coach the remainder of the season, citing personal reasons, so hope that him and his family are doing okay, and we can see him back in the dugout. A team that is, well, you don't want to put the mocker on them, but you would be willing to suggest that it is going to be extraordinarily difficult to see Dynamo Dresden getting out of the relegation zone. They were beaten 1-0 by Hamburg. And then, of course, on Monday night, they were beaten 4-0 by Arminia Bielefeld. It's the fourth or fifth game since the restart where they failed to score. This one was a late goal from Joel Poyampalo. And really, I guess if we look at Dynamo, 5 points away from the playoffs, they've got 3 games remaining. It just doesn't seem likely, especially with the form that they've been producing.
Yeah, although I have to say, they are really good times or sections where they play good football as well, as in the Hamburg game, as in the Bielefeld game. But yeah, I think they just don't have the confidence to score in front of the goal if they have the chances. They were very unlucky to, like, 3 out of the first 4 games after the restart were against the top three, against Stuttgart, against Hamburg, and against Bielefeld. So very unlucky for them. And they managed to win against Wiesbaden. They have really have a very difficult task ahead against Kiel tomorrow night, so German time. But for them, it's just done with the season. And in the end, you have to say, if you look at the whole season, you feel sorry for them, but it's not like it came much to a surprise since the beginning.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, there's been a lot of regression from a lot of their players who were, you know, fairly solid contributors last season. And it was a problem that we lamented last season, was their inability to score goals. 29 goals is almost the walking the plank to relegation. And yeah, it's been particularly frustrating to watch them. A team that has a lot of talent, but they can't gel it together. With Hamburg, prior to the game last night against Osnabrück, which was a 1-1 draw, Joan Poyampalo had scored in his last 4 games, with 5 of the 8 goals that he has scored being assisted by Tim Leibold. Of course, Hamburg played last night. It was a 1-1 draw with Osnabrück. Leaves the door open for Stuttgart, who played tonight against Sandhausen. And you get the feeling that as ridiculous as it sounds, they don't really want to be out of the Zweite Bundesliga, because Stuttgart did the same thing. Heidenheim had the chance to usurp them and didn't. It's just very tight in that top, that second to fourth bracket. It's up for, if anyone wants it, just the question is anyone going to take it? We'll take our first break, and on the other side we'll look at the other contenders that are trying to avoid relegation, and then we'll talk about the rest of the games from Matchday 31. Our second group of matches starts at the Wildparkstadion in the Baden-Schwaben derby between Karlsruhe and Stuttgart, a game that Stuttgart were probably expected to win, but they failed to do so. Karlsruhe taking a vital 2-1 victory, goals from Marvin Vanitzek and Lucas Frueda, giving KSC a little bit of life as they look to avoid the playoffs at the very least. Either another performance where Stuttgart were very dominant on the ball, but once again, they didn't score a goal from open play. The goal coming from a penalty, which was a penalty, not hard to argue. But yeah, another frustrating performance. And they gave up two very soft goals, which only just laments the problems that seem to be continuing at Stuttgart.
Yeah, and I think it's always, or in that game at least, it was a matter of personal mistakes as well. I think this time it was Kaminsky.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, who kind of gave up the two goals very easily. But in the end, the whole team has to be accountable for that, because that was way too less. They had their chances. That's not the, like, they always create chances, but in the final third, they just fail to use them. And we spoke about that in a couple of games. It was the same with the Wien game. And as you must expect, and more of that team. And the thing is, with all the statements the club officials give, with Matarazzo and Miss Lintat always saying, it should be fun and we have a good team, but you can't really see that on the pitch. It's not enough to have 2, 3, 4 single players who know what they're doing, on the likes of Nicolas Gonzalez, for example, but the whole team seems very unsure on how to go forward, I think. Really weird that a couple of Stuttgart fans said that Massimo is completely out of the team after Adarazu says he has big plans for him, but some people really think that it's because of the two mistakes he made. And in the end, they really have to upstage their game against Sandhausen tonight. It's not going to be an easy game. Arminia had their problems with them. They're really not really nice to play. And for Stuttgart, huge defeat. And one of the reasons Arminia is relegated without even playing on Matchday 32.
It's crazy, because it doesn't look like they're actually having a lot of fun while they're playing. I think tactically speaking, they were very passive. I think Matarazzo is really conservative. When you look at the Tim Walter methodology, Stuttgart were a lot more progressive on the ball. They were far more advanced, especially going forward, but once they got to the final third, that's where all the ideas kind of ran away. But under Matarazzo, it's very, it's not slow, but it's not, there's no real determination or drive to really get forward. And then once they get forward again, much like the Volta system, once they enter the final third, everything just kind of just falls apart. And this is a team that scored 50 goals, and yet you get the feeling that they're still underachieving, and yet they can still find themselves by tonight in the automatic promotion place, which seems incredible, because it feels like they've had a lot more troubles. And I think as some people have said, maybe the jersey is a bit too heavy for certain players on the team. And it just, yeah, it seems crazy, but they really need to beat Sandhausen. Otherwise, those last two games will really be nervous for them, and the last thing they want is to be finishing fourth and letting Heidenheim usurp them into the playoff spot or even automatic promotion. We'll move on to Osnabrück, who of course played last night in that 1-1 draw with Hamburg, but they did succumb to defeat to VfL Bochum. 2-0, Lucas Guggenheim with the own goal, and then Manuel Winsheimer, who must have felt the most cursed bloke against St. Pauli. He was behind Guggenheim, who put the ball in his own net. Finally gets on the score sheet. Well deserved for him. The renaissance of Bochum seems inconceivable either, but I would almost liken it to a few years ago when Robin Dutt took over what seemed like a very dire situation, but then they ended the season like a house on fire, and they're starting to be a bit more optimism at the Ruhrstadion.
Yeah, it seems like the restart was also the start of a new era for Bochum. Really, really good work being done. You can see that now they might have some better chances to keep some of the players that are on loan, although everything is a bit difficult with the whole COVID-19 situation transfer-wise. But yeah, they show some kind of dominance in their play that they haven't throughout this season. And I think that's a really, really good thing. And also Osnabrück was really poor in that game. If you compare it to their games against Stuttgart or HSV, they seem to have a different kind of mentality when they really play against the big names, or at least the top three. They were quite good against Bielefeld as well as Stuttgart and HSV. But as soon as a not that big of a club, not to sound in any way, when to say that Bochum isn't a big club, I'm just speaking table-wise, they kind of seem to not really have the same confidence going into the game, and Bochum used that very, very well, and so they're one of the best teams since the restart, and heads up to them, really, really good performance, and I think they can't end it like on the 5th or 6th if they really keep it going like that.
Yeah, and another clean sheet. I think the one takeaway for me of their recent form is the defensive partnership of Maxim Leitch and Vasilios Lampropoulos, who have really struck up a fantastic partnership. They are defending very well. You've got Gumbau and Danilo on as the fullbacks, and they are a much tighter group than when they had Lorenz or Dakali. And you can just see that confidence with the defence is very much driving their attacking play, even though Lampropoulos did give away a penalty, which was incredibly saved by Manuel Riemann, who's also in some really, really good form. So, good momentum that Bochum can take in to the end of the season, and maybe you would liken it, not saying it's Bielefeld-esque, but Bielefeld did something very similar last season where they ended the season fantastically well with a new manager. Just the question is, can Bochum build on that momentum? We'll wait to see, as Bochum will be playing Erzgebirge Aue tonight if you're listening to the podcast today, which be Wednesday. Let's go to St. Pauli, who, a side that desperately needed to get back on the winner's sheet, and they did so. 2-1 against Erzgebirge Aue. Dimitrios Diamantakos and Hank Fehrman were the two goal scorers for St. Pauli, but momentum very much swung after a positive first half for St. Pauli once Diamantakos missed another penalty, which was saved by Martin Manuel. Aue very much dominant in the second half. Soren Gunter made it 2-1, but they couldn't get the equalising goal. Vital point for three points for St. Pauli, but they still face the uncertainty with another must-win game tonight.
Yeah, I think the first half was the best football that we have seen of St. Pauli since the restart. They have been very poor otherwise. They were kind of a bit unlucky to not make it 3. I think they miss a penalty, or am I mistaken?
No, they did.
Yeah, they missed a bit, which kind of drove them into a situation where they had to fear for all 3 points in the end. Our away showed in the second half some kind of, you know, I don't want to say dominance, but way of playing that we didn't see of them that much away. It's for St. Pauli, was the second half was back to the normal day since the reset, I would say. They didn't really create any more chances. If they had chances, they used them very likely, or very like they didn't really try to get the goal into the back of the net. So that was a bit poor in the second half. And it's not going to be an easy game against Hannover tonight. Hannover is one of the best teams since the restart, and St. Pauli might have some troubles, especially because they aren't really particularly good away as well.
Yep, tend to agree. It was a very good first half, as you mentioned, and the concerns really were becoming apparent in the defensive third when Auer were finding ways to create opportunities. I think Robin Himmelman had another solid game between the sticks, and yeah, the impression is they are a team just trying to get to the end of the season, avoid the drop, and then there's going to be a lot of discussions of where to from here. I think it becomes apparent that Jos the Boss mightn't be the man, but with the circumstances of COVID-19, can you really afford to pay him out of his contract? He does have a year left, but I guess the question you'd put has it really been an improvement from what Kalczynski offered or previous management before that? And, you know, with not much certainty, you wouldn't say yes, but in the same tone, you probably wouldn't say no. But yeah, our not a bad performance, but just very slow first half. They're in no danger of going down. They play an interesting tie against Bochum, which will be maybe not the top spieler or the one that heaps of people will go to, but maybe one for the football hipster community. That I reckon that might be the game to go to. We'll take another break. We'll look at the other three games from Match Day 31. We have topic questions to answer, and as well as chatting about the promotion from Arminia Bielefeld. We have three games to talk about for Match Day 31. One being, of course, Sandhausen's 0-0 with Arminia Bielefeld. Stepping aside from Bielefeld, because we'll talk about them later, it means that Sandhausen have pretty much guaranteed Zweite Bundesliga football for another season. However, it was definitely not a shooting gallery. They had 21 shots in total. 18 of those were off target, which said a lot about the game. Really, I think Bielefeld didn't actually manage a shot on target at all. Bielefeld did think they had a goal at the death through Andreas Vogelsammer, but that was correctly ruled for offside. I guess we won't spend too much time on this either. It was, I guess, a good point for both sides. For Bielefeld, it did mean another step in the right direction, which we already know the conclusion of. But I guess for Sandhausen, you know, their job, their objectives most seasons are to survive, and very much helps this result helps them achieve that. And maybe if they get a result tonight, they will probably cement themselves with another season in the Zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah, and I think if you look back at the game on Friday night, as well as on the whole season of Sandhausen, they always do that. They always really challenge people, challenge teams in the end that think, okay, it's only Sandhausen, and they have a really, really good team. And although they didn't really create many chances, the two or three they had were brilliantly saved by Stefan Ortega, I think. And they kind of really made it difficult for Arminia to develop their play, to really do their kinds of stuff. And that's why it's going to be, once again for Stuttgart, very difficult to win against them, because they always find ways to challenge the bigger clubs, to not let them play what they want to do and really let them create chances in any way. So hats up to them once again, a brilliant season by them.
Yeah, they have really rode the form of the likes of Kevin Behrens. Julius Biard has been very good during since the restart. You know, they're relatively stable at the back. Good goalkeeping from Martin Fraser. And I think Uwe Koshinat deserves a lot of credit, because he inherited a bit of a side that had lost its identity after the Keenan Kokach era. You know, he came from Fortuna Köln midway through last season and really made them much more of an attacking threat than they had been in previous seasons. While that does in some way subtract their defensive capabilities, they have improved a lot, especially this season. And, you know, for a club with a very small, you know, budget, they've done a fantastic job and once again gone above and beyond to avoid the drop. A team that is very much still in the hunt for promotion, although they didn't win last night, was Heidenheim. And they played Jahn Regensburg last weekend and crushed them. 4-1. Robert Leipertz, a brace from Tim Kleindienst, and Stefan Schimmer getting on the score sheet. If you exclude the game last night, Schimmer had scored in his last 3 consecutive appearances off the bench. Not a great day for Jan. Very conservative in their approach. They lost goalkeeper Alexander Meyer with a medial strain, I believe. His season is very much over. Aaron Seidel made it 2-1, but then they conceded twice in the last 10 minutes to compound themselves to victory. Now, it doesn't seem likely that Regensburg will be in that bottom three battle, but it's definitely been a very poor end to the season for the Jahn Elf.
Yeah, and I have to say, after that very early goal by Heidenheim, Jahn had some had a couple of chances, but not in the way that you really had the feeling, okay, this is going to really challenge Heidenheim, even after they got one back in the second half. And this is a problem we talked about in the past. As soon as Jahn start to concede goals, they gave up other ones very easily, especially I think that last goal really symbolizes or really recreates this, how this season has been, especially in the second half so far. And yeah, for Heidenheim, they're a bit weird since the restart as well. So they win a couple of games, but then they lose games you won't expect them to. And for me, last night, that game, it was way too less to really say, okay, we're going to challenge Stuttgart and HSV, we still want to go up. That was a bit too less for me. Of course, it's English week for everyone, so not a lot of to expect energetic wise, but still it was a bit too less for me. Yeah, and for Regensburg, there might be a final really to push them out of the relegation spots against Karlsruhe tonight. So if they win, I think they're very, very clear off that path, but I really have to rethink the club structure for next season. I think there has to be some improvement, especially defense-wise.
Indeed, I would agree with that. It very much was a very tough day for Alexander Weiniger. Never easy for a goalkeeper to come off the bench and have to play, and to do it so early and really get thrown into the warpath was particularly difficult for him. The game that actually wielded the most goals was Darmstadt and Hanover, and this game was actually a really good game to watch, with De Leon taking all 3 points with a last-minute header from Patrick Pfeiffer. He is an ex-Hamburg junior, getting his first start. He's made 3 appearances as a substitute. Very good performance for them, and really, when you play a side that was in red-hot form like Hanover had been, I think in the last 6 games, I think only Bochum and Sandhausen had taken more points from them. So a very good win for Darmstadt, Eva. And yeah, they, you know, a team that will most likely finish 5th. which makes it pretty strange with the new direction that the club is going to go in at the end of the 1920 campaign.
Yeah, I think it was it looked a bit like they're going to give up after they scored, and then Hannover got back, but then Hannover went back to normal Hannover days and were really poor after set pieces, to say the least, I think. No, but still, for me, it's a bit not, or it's not understandable how they're not keeping Gramotzes. I don't think, although nothing against Marcos Anfang, he's a brilliant coach, but now you have a team that works together very well. You can see what they can do, and it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be easier, but if you look at the, yeah, at the teams that are relegated, next season might be a better, yeah, might be a good season to once again challenge all the teams up top. And I think they're kind of losing that a bit with getting Marcos Anfang, because it's a new coach with new rules, new way of playing, and this might go into the wrong direction, I fear. And yeah, for Hannover, there must have been an end to that, their strike, and you saw it against Darmstadt, really, really horrible defending after those set pieces. As they're really going to focus on that before playing against St. Pauli tonight.
Indeed, and of course Darmstadt will be playing Arminia Bielefeld on Thursday night. How much Bielefeld would just love to beat them and really almost rewrite the wrongs from the 2013-14 season. We have two topic questions to get through today. The first one coming from Steel Penguin at Steel Penguin 3. He says, "Hey y'all, hope you and your families are doing well. Likewise for you. Do you have any predictions for the relegation battle to the Dritte Liga? Now, Dresden sit on 28 points with 3 games remaining. Then you have Wiesbaden on 31 points, Karlsruhe on 33, then it goes Nürnberg and Osnabrück on 36, St. Pauli on 38. You would suggest maybe Regensburg and Kiel are probably safe. So, Eva, what is the bottom three going to look like?"
Very difficult question. Yeah, as I said before, not thinking that Dresden will save them, or save in any way. Wiesbaden as well. So for me, it's the final question whether, for me, it's really, if it's going to be Nuremberg or Karlsruhe. I think Osnabrück will save themselves somehow. And although Nuremberg won yesterday, quite spectacular, kind of have the feeling they're going to be the teams that's sitting 16th. But honestly, don't ask me that. If you look at my prediction at the beginning of the season, I got it wrong so hard. So yeah, it's just a very wild guess, I have to say.
It is always tough to predict at the start of the season, especially in a league that has promotion and relegation. Well, I would almost be willing to say that it could be Nürnberg. Very tough couple of games coming up. They've got Stuttgart, and then they finish the season at Kiel. You know, Kiel are sort of sputtering and bumbling away to end the season. Wiesbaden have St. Pauli, as well as Darmstadt. Not particularly easy fixturing for them. Karlsruhe, home to Bielefeld, and then they finish the season at Greuther Fürth. Very good chance that H stays the way it is. Osnabrück have maybe the more manageable schedule. They do play Kiel, and then they are away at Dynamo. And playing devil's advocate, you would be willing to say that they will be, Dresden will most likely be relegated at that stage. So I reckon the only switch might be Karlsruhe going into the safety, and then Nürnberg having to play that relegation playoff game, which could be against a number of different teams. Be it at the moment, they would be playing Würzburger Kickers, as Bayern, of course, are not eligible for promotion from the Dritte Liga, and Würzburg are currently in fourth place. Our last question is from David B at DBest16. For the three possible teams, Hamburg, Stuttgart, and Heidenheim, that could end up in the relegation playoff, who is the best matchup from the Bundesliga, Fortuna or Bremen? Very good question. I would also like to add Mainz into the mix, because I think Mainz are very much playing themselves into that bottom, that fight, being 3 points above Fortuna and Bremen. Eva, I'm going to let you have first stab at this one, because I just want to hear what you want to say first.
Tough one.
Pick what you might think would be the best game for each side. Just one word answer.
If it's Heidenheim, I go with Düsseldorf.
Mm-hmm.
HSV, just fan-wise, it's Bremen, just because I think, yeah, it's Bremen. In Stuttgart, I'd say Mainz. But that being said, don't think Bremen is going to be saved.
Yeah, I think it's either Bremen or Düsseldorf that are going to automatically join Paderborn. Of course, Paderborn were relegated thanks to Union Berlin's 1-0 victory, which also meant that they are safe. So congratulations to Union. Based on form, I'd want to be playing Mainz. They look, you know, excluding the performance against Eintracht Frankfurt, which they won 2-0, they have been catastrophic. Same with Düsseldorf. I would have to say, you know, really, they've been gritty, but they just lack the cutting edge. I'd also like to point out that their performance against Schalke, they should have won at least 4-0, but, you know, that's just the way it is for them. I think Bremen, you know, considering that both Düsseldorf and Bremen have winnable games, I think Bremen are playing Mainz on Saturday, that could be a very pivotal tilt, just finding out who will be in that third place. I think in terms of matchup wise, I think Hamburg, they would have a hard time against Bremen. I think Stuttgart would like Bremen or would probably take all three. And Heidenheim, well, they're a mixed bag, so you don't really know who. Well, I don't think any Bundesliga side would know how to play them, because they play such a diverse range of football. So I'm going to say Mainz, the team that I actually added into the question. Mainz or Düsseldorf. I think Bremen could hold on if they were in the 16th place, but yeah, I'm not sure if they're going to get there, to be honest. We should also talk about, as we end the show for this week, the promotion. It has been a long time coming for Arminia Bielefeld. They've gone through quite a lot of change since 2009, which was the last time they played a game in the Bundesliga. Only one player on their current squad has Bundesliga experience, and that is Marcel Hartl from his time at FC Köln. Since 2009, they obviously faced the relegation playoff defeat to Darmstadt, which, you know, that will never get lived down as long as myself and other people, you know, talk about it. But they have resurged, and really, the Uwe Neuhaus signing really transcended the team into a place where now they are going to be back in the Bundesliga. The smile, the celebrations in Ostwestfalia are palpable. So Eva, I'm going to give you some time. And I think everyone listening to the program would love to hear how the range of emotions from when it probably seemed a little bit sketchy at times to the sudden realization and now the confirmation that from September of this year, Arminia Bielefeld are back in the Bundesliga.
Yeah, I'm very emotional. I think you can tell. I remember I really started to go to the stadiums when Arminia was relegated in 2009. I was at that age at that time. But I fell in love with the club, and this is my first real that I really, as a fan, not only as a small child, but as a fan, it's my first Bundesliga promotion, and it's so typical for that club that it happens without fans and with so many stuff that happened around it. I've read a really good article from Elf Freunde yesterday, of course from one of the Arminia Bielefeld fans that works there, and he basically said when Uwe Neuhaus was appointed, he was really skeptical because, of course, Uwe Neuhaus was famous for not getting his sides promoted.
Yeah.
But if you look at it now, we're so lucky that club officials are not us, or the other way around, definitely. And I don't really care what happens next year, in a way of which, if we're going to get relegated again or if we stay up, it's just that Fabian Klos is going to play Bundesliga next season. And with everything that went on in this club for the past couple of years, that we thought there's not going to be a DC Arminia Bielefeld anymore financially, to the Bündnis Ostwestfalen, who gave us hope, to Uwe Neuhaus and Fabian Klos building, and Sami Arabi and Markus Rehe building a team that did the trick, and that it only has until now 2 defeats in 31 games. This is so amazing. It has players that, for example, Jonathan Klaus, of course, will leave us, but who was nearly before working as in a post office again in France because he didn't get a job, to be scoring that wonderful goal Monday night. Yeah. That whole 2-2. Anderson Lukoki, who played back. And then personally for me, it has been a very shitty year, or a very shitty start into the year. And with Corona and everything that went on, it's one of the bright lights in this year, and I'm just very, very happy.
Yeah. And you deserve it. And the wonderful fan base of Arminia Bielefeld, the Ostwestfalians, they've gone through quite a lot. And just to think, a few years ago, they almost were relegated back to the Dritte Liga. But of course, that's infamous 6-0 over Braunschweig, and you know, a club that is very much of the Bundesliga ilk. It's great to see them back. It's going to be a shame to not have to not cover them next season. But this is what I love about football. You know how much it means to the people in the region, and you know, despite the we're still dealing with COVID-19, seeing the fans singing Da Humba in front of the car of Hartl and Sven Shiplock, how much it means to people like Fabian Klos, who at 32 is finally going to get the chance to prove his worth as a Bundesliga player. It's almost going to be, I won't compare it to the Union experience where, you know, they're happy to be there. But what I will say is that they are going to be a very tricky opponent for a lot of teams. And watching that Pokal game against Schalke, excluding the trillions of problems that club has, they will give a lot of teams a lot of trouble. They have very good attacking players, an outstanding defensive pairing in Pieper and Nielsen. They have fantastic goalkeeping in Stefan Ortega. And, you know, they have a lot of positives entering next season. Of course, they want to win the title now to prove the naysayers that say they play boring football or aren't worthy of being crowned champion. But if you've watched the league and joined us throughout the season so far, they are more than worthy of wearing the crown of Zweite Bundesliga champions. That's it for another episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. Thank you for joining us. Only a few more episodes left, of course. Matchday 33, matchday 34, and of course, the relegation playoffs. Who will be there? The final two matchdays will determine. Join us next week as we digress matchday 33. And until next time, have a safe weekend and enjoy the football.